Good morning, everybody, again. Good morning. This morning is about the talk title, as you see up there, is Hold That Thought. And very late last night or very early this morning, I was holding a lot of thoughts, not because I wanted to, but because I was trying to go to sleep. I'm going to set this here. And I was going through all of my breathing practices, all of my meditation. I was listening to meditation music. I was doing all kinds of things. And I was so focused on going to sleep that I couldn't go to sleep. And in the middle of all of that frustration and a little bit of anger and a little bit of, you know, hey, God, don't you know I have to do a talk tomorrow morning? I got the message that, yes, Kit, shut up for a minute and let me do the talking. Kit, hold that thought. Hold that thought for a minute, Kit. And I got it. I got, you know, I had to laugh. I still wasn't quite ready to let go of all of the drama that I had created in my own head about just events over the last week and the previous few hours and the previous couple of days and all of those things. And what I realized was, of course, that there's something that's much more intelligent than I am. There's something that is much wiser than I am that was really just trying to get my attention. And it was, yes, I'm keeping you awake until you pay attention and listen to me. Now, I need to clarify, of course, we don't believe that there is a he, she out there. I don't. It is the presence, that thing that we affirm, that presence and that power, that thing, whatever name we give it, whether we call it God, it doesn't matter what we call it. It is an energy field. It's a force. It's an infinite intelligence that works in and through and expresses as us. And we are in the beginning of the year, so we always return to the basics this year. And I just want to grab my Science of Mind textbook that many of you have seen before that is dog-eared and flipped and taped together from years, practically 20 years of use so far. And just to give you a heads up on, this is in The Thing Itself, the very first chapter of this textbook, beginning of the year, talking about metaphysics, talking about metaphysical principles, metaphysical studies. It sounds out there. We don't understand it. It's woo-woo. It's all those kinds of things. We're talking about it in our Wednesday night classes this month. And it really is this simple. This is the simple meaning of true metaphysical teaching, according to Ernest Holmes. The study of life, with a capital L, and the nature of the law, with a capital L, governed and directed by thought. Always conscious that we live in a spiritual universe. That God is in, through, around, and for us. And that is a very important word. God is for us. Us, always in our favor. There is nothing supernatural about the study of life from a metaphysical viewpoint. That which today seems to be supernatural, after it is thoroughly understood, will be found spontaneously natural. The process that I was going through last night, getting out of my own way, getting out of my own overthinking processes, led me to change songs midstream, middle of the night, last night. And thank you to the crew, and thank you to Katie for switching, for moving anyway. And that's the message I kept getting in the middle of the night was, yes, you have this other wonderful song, this beautiful song about imagination. And I love to do it, don't get me wrong. But this one was more important. And what I realize, of course, is that Aida's prayer, the daily word, all fit in the idea of what we are coming up on celebrating tomorrow and honoring tomorrow, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and the work that he did in the world, and the work that continues to reverberate long after he was assassinated. doing it anyway, holding the thought, holding the vision, holding a purpose, it can be a double-edged sword, as I already explained. We can get so focused on the thing that we lose sight of the fact that the thing is unfolding for our highest and best. And we can get so focused on manifesting. We do a lot of that in this practice. You know, our proof that we are spiritual is if we've manifested that thing that we wanted the most. But as the song says, we can spend our whole lives building something from nothing, and tomorrow one storm can come and blow it all away. And we build it anyway. We can love, we can dream, and all of the conditions and the circumstances and the experiences of life are going to mess around or seem to mess around with us, hanging on to the thought, to the vision, to the purpose. The double-edged sword part of this is that we have to hold the thought, yes, and we have to hold it gently. We have to look at the idea that there is something greater, wiser, smarter, more intelligent than we are that is trying to assist us in any given moment, trying to supply us, trying to support us, trying to hold us up and allow us to evolve so that it can express its highest and best through us. We may be holding the thought of financial abundance or the perfect right relationship, the perfect job, the perfect place to live, all of those things. And all of that, yes, we have to have something to aim at. And we have to hold it with that open hand to allow Spirit to do its work in its right way, and most importantly, its right time. When what I just read about that was in thought, we have to remember that we are living in an infinitely abundant universe and that it is always for us. And so the question always comes up, if we have this power and this presence and this supply, this infinite supply, why do we struggle? Why are we in poverty? Why do we have conflict? Why do we have violence? Why do we have so many people that are, this is another thing that came in the middle of the night, so many people that are terrified of peace? That dropped in. Thank you. Again, I was supposed to stay awake for a reason. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? Why are we so terrified, so terrified of each other and what we think? Each one of us is an individualized expression of that power. It cannot be any other way. That's the whole purpose of us, there being so many of us on this planet. We are not supposed to be all alike, and we are not supposed to be in that place of we must think and speak and act exactly like each other. There would be no point. There'd be absolutely no point for us to be here. But what is the terror about? What is the terror about people that don't look and act and speak and think like we do? There is actually a neuroscientific explanation. We are, for better or worse, wired for doom and gloom. Sorry. And it's an old instinctual, the way the human brain developed. It's fear. It's fear, plain and simple. It is a fear of lack. It's a fear that somebody is going to take something from me that I think belongs to me. Somebody's going to take my job. Somebody's going to take my land. Somebody's going to take my belief. But we have evolved. we have evolved, I would say, just in the last 100 or so years of the development of new thought, which is ancient wisdom, which has come from thousands of years of people like us thinking the same thing. There is something magnificent, something so infinitely intelligent and so much wiser than we are, that created everything. And when we can keep our focus on that, the wonder of it all, to keep our curiosity high. And I know I speak about this all the time, but it's like just walking out in the middle of the night if you're awake, and rather than fighting sleep, just sticking your head out the door, and if you can see the stars, look at the stars. And the constellations that have been for however many millions, billions of years that we humans have found a way to sort of calculate, we have a general idea, have been around for these billions of years. Those constellations, constant. Doesn't that just, it blows my mind. And yet we are afraid. We are so afraid of asking somebody what their dream is. We're afraid of telling somebody what our dream is because our experience is somebody in their own fear and their own stuff is going to tell us we don't deserve it, or we can't have it, or it's a stupid idea from their filters and their perspective. We have a fear of seeing history repeat itself with those dreamers and those mystics and those people who have had curious minds and open hearts to accomplish things in the world. We have seen over history sometimes what happens to them. So yeah, it's a little scary to think about stepping into a dream, doing everything that was talked about already today. Having the courage and the tenacity, the courage mostly, to step beyond other people's opinions and do what is ours to do. Several years ago, I was speaking, I think it was in Austin, if I remember, and a group of us had gone out to lunch afterwards, and that day or the night before, there was a very well-known art, I think it was when Prince passed away. And one of the people in the group who always has just this, you know, he just lays it right out there, and he says, well, guess that means his record sales are going to go up. And I just, you know, it took me back a little bit as a musician, and the conversation continued on a little bit, and I remember saying something like with great emotion and great energy coming out of me, saying, man, if my music doesn't become famous until after I die, I'm going to be really ticked off. And it was like, it was all ego. It was all this place of, you know, and I was thinking about this again in the middle of the night, was my evolution of my purpose, or what I thought was my purpose, I think is my purpose, being on this planet. How it has swung around from this place of the musical gifts that I was given, still possess, I think, except for that first song this morning. You know, yeah, thank you for hanging with me. But here's the evolution that I'm talking about in our consciousness. We have something here. Every single one of us has something to do here, and we talk about this all the time. And I was in this place with all of my stuff at that time, saying, if my music becomes famous after I'm dead, I'm going to be really ticked off. That it was a double-edged sword. It's been a burden and an absolute gift and an absolute joy. But most of my life, from the circumstances and the people that were around me and instructing me and teaching me, not teaching me consciously, about what it was that I possessed, It was a burden. There was a lot of pain involved in it. There was a lot of betrayal. There was a lot of things involved in what I just thought was something natural and beautiful for me to have and express that a lot of people take advantage of. Still happens all the time. Then several years later, I was in some intensive transformational training, and we were going through this exercise and about purpose, about dreams and visions and all of those things. And this room full of people and the facilitator said something to the effect of that your dream, your purpose, may not be fulfilled while you're still on this planet. And it struck me again, but I also recognized I was in a different place. And something had shifted in me to know that there is this thing that we all have. And it is true, our work might not be complete while we're still on the planet, but we do it anyway. Martin Luther King Jr., we know, was assassinated for doing his work. His purpose, his life's purpose. Gandhi was assassinated for doing his life's purpose. Jesus was assassinated for doing his life's work. Doesn't sound like a very promising track record, does it? So the fear is there, absolutely. And what I realized this just in the last day and in the middle of the night, as I have been moving closer and closer into this focusing on my purpose as a musician and as a minister and the work that is mine to do in the world, is realizing, you know what? If my work isn't done while I'm still alive on this planet, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'd prefer it to be otherwise. And I will hold that. I will hold that thought. I will hold that vision. And I can hold it because I know and I trust and I have practiced that there is something. The universe is always in my favor. I can consciously look at the fear when it arises. And I can use the practice and a lot of tools that I know I've worked with those of you that I've prayed with and done treatment with and coached with, mentored with. The tools, the conscious question, is this fear, am I in imminent danger in this moment? Is my life being threatened right this second? No, from what I know, the information I know right now, no. Are there threats out there? Absolutely. If you hadn't noticed, we have been in a little bit of a contentious atmosphere recently. And I hold the vision for peace that moving forward, we move away from that contention and we start to recognize that everybody is a divine expression, probably not consciously. Most likely what we see in the fear-based violence in the world. But what I also know is that I don't condone the behavior, but I can be compassionate about the fear. Because I've been there. I have been in places of fear so deep that the only way out feels like some sort of creating some sort of violence. Not for the sake of violence, but to end the pain. To stop the pain of feeling separate from my source. And this is where holding the thought of peace, holding the thought of compassion, holding the thought of love. This is what we are here to do. As I said earlier, we have evolved beyond the point of it's the survival of the fittest. There is more than enough of everything on this planet for every human being on this planet to live healthy, vibrant, joyful lives. And it is our work to remember that we have conscious choice to look at our fear and say, okay, where is this coming from? To stop terrorizing ourselves. I think that came from Louise Hay. We terrorize ourselves with thought. I have terrorized myself many times in the middle of the night about things that I thought would happen, things that I'm assuming other people are doing to me. And I don't think I'm the only one in this, I hope. And I learned to let go, to breathe, to be in this moment right here and right now, and take my conscious thought right back to remembering there is one power. There is one presence. There is one infinite intelligence. There is one unconditional love overarching, over encompassing all of us. And when I breathe into that moment and relax, that's when the real message comes through. That is when we hear the next step. We can get caught up in thinking that, oh my God, you know, I don't have a purpose. And honestly, if I know I used to say it, many of us say it, we hear other people say it, well, I don't know what my purpose is. And I will challenge you on that. And a lot of you know that I will challenge you on that. But my question to you, when you hear yourself saying that, well, I don't know what I'm here to do. I don't know what my purpose is. I'll say, yes, you do. And how about this? How about if you get curious and ask that higher self, that infinite wisdom that you have, that we all have access to in any given moment, ask and say, be curious and say, what if there is a tiny part of me that does know? What if? Because what if, the curiosity takes away all of the self-judgment. Where you say, what? Okay, so what if there's a teeny tiny part of me that does know what my purpose is? What would be the next step? And I guarantee you that if you are in a peaceful and relaxed state asking that question, you will be given the next step. It might be something as simple as saying, hey, Kit, do this song instead of that song. It's going to fit better. It might be something as simple as, maybe I will say a prayer this morning instead of getting up and checking social media to see if the world has come to an end yet. How about that? We have a choice in all of our thoughts. We have a choice in recognizing, yep, we have fear, yep, we get triggered, yep, we got old baggage, yep, we got all that kind of stuff, but it isn't who I am now. It doesn't have to be who I want to be now. Unless you want to be fearful and hoarding and hanging on and angry and putting your dukes up every time you walk out the door. We are moving, as we know, in this country, shifting into a change of power. And it has been rough and rocky, and I don't think it's over yet. We have a lot more work to do, but what I do know is that there has been so much evidence of people who get that love is the thing that fixes stuff. I am encouraged by that. I wouldn't be doing this work if I didn't think that were true. So I invite you, the next time something triggers you, the next time somebody says, or you hear somebody say, or you hear yourself say, I don't know what I'm here for, I invite you to hold the thought, stop that thought in mid-thought, and say, what if? What if? What if I believed that there is something that supplies and supports me in everything? Not just ideas and imagination, but inspiration and motivation to take the steps to move into that dream, to move into that vision, to live it. And when times get tough and it's like, I don't know, and I'm struggling and it's not happening, to be able to take a breath and say, what if it is happening in God's time and not mine? And I can just relax. I can guarantee you from experience that relaxing into that and saying, okay, show me, or you do your thing, God, I'm just going to wait here for some instructions, it'll show up. We are here to love, period. We've been taught that for thousands of years. I'm just kind of reiterating. And I'm here to remind you. So as we take this thought into meditation, I'm going to ask Katie to just do some beautiful playing on the guitar. And I invite you, if you're comfortable, if you're a little tense, if you're just take a deep breath. Just relax into this place as much as you can. Whether you're sitting in your favorite chair, whether you're outside, you might be lying in a bed. Just close your eyes and relax and be here in this moment, right now. Recognizing that you do have a breath, that you do have a heartbeat. And I invite you to focus on love. Whatever that word means to you, your divine understanding of it, your divine expression of it, your divine belief in what love is to you. It might be a person, it might be a place, it might be a feeling. But I invite you to pull in a memory of a loved one or a precious moment where time stood still. A moment where you absolutely knew that love was present. And breathe in that love. Take a few deep breaths and go even deeper with it. Just notice if your shoulders are still tense or you're still hanging on. Loosen your hands. Maybe shake them out. And then allow yourself, direct your conscious mind to that love and then the love beyond, the overarching, all-encompassing, loving presence and energy. Imagine, if you can, what that looks like. if your idea or your imagination gives you a starry night sky, go there. Or sitting on the edge of the vastness of an ocean where you can't see the other side. Go big. And allow that enormity, that infiniteness, to surround you. Envision it as swirling light or a warm breeze or a soft blanket. And know, absolutely know, that whatever is transpiring, that peace and that presence is always available for you to feel embraced, to feel held, to feel buoyed up, to feel supported. Because that is the energy of love. And I invite you to hang on to, hold the thought of this feeling of being unconditionally loved and infinitely supplied and supported. Everything is available to you as much as you believe it is. That love and that supply is waiting on us always. Just say the word and accept and embody it. And I invite you in this relaxed moment of feeling love and support and supply to allow a prayer of peace to rise through you. For this coming week, for this coming day, for this coming moment. And allow that peace to bring you the words, to bring you the ideas, the inspirations of what the next step is for you to do. And know that it is divinely guided, always. We are here to be a demonstration of love in action, of peace and courage and strength in calm, calm ways. Peace cannot be forced on anyone. It must be invited. So I invite you now to create a guest list of anyone and everyone you can think of that you would like to see existing in peace and harmony. And trust and know that it is always available and it is always so. I love you dearly. So it is.